Title, Subtle Automate and Commit Workflow, Advanced. All right, let's do the advanced version of automation in drum and bass. Not the flashy, obvious filter sweep stuff. We're talking micro movement, the kind of tiny changes that make an 8-bar loop feel like a finished record, and not like a static demo that repeats forever. The core workflow today is simple to say, but it's a pro habit. Automate subtly, commit often, iterate fast, because the real enemy at an advanced level isn't not knowing what plugin to use. It's getting stuck in tweak land. Endless automation lanes, endless micro adjustments, and you never actually finish the arrangement. So we're going to build movement with intention, then print it to audio so we can make decisive edits and keep the track moving forward. Here's what we're building. A 32-bar rolling DDNB section at 174 BPM. You'll have a bass that evolves without sounding obviously automated, a drum bus that leans into different sections without changing the groove, and some atmos that breathe without washing out the impact. And you'll learn a commit pipeline that makes all of that feel fast and controllable. Set your tempo to 174. Build in 8-bar phrases and think in 32 bars total. Intro vibe, main A, variation, then a turnaround into the next section. That phrase thinking matters because subtle automation needs a story. Without a story, it's just wiggling knobs. Quick gain staging rule before we print anything. Keep your individual channels peaking around -12 to -6 dBFS, and your buses around -10 to -6. You're not doing this for some abstract proper reason. You're doing it because saturation, compression, and resampling behavior changes dramatically when you hit things harder. Consistent levels make your commits predictable. Now let's build the bass movement rack. This is where you'll spend most of your automation budget. In DDNB, bass mids are front and center. So as a coach's rule, give bass mids like 60 to 70% of your automation attention. Drum bus gets maybe 20 to 30. Atmos and ear candy get the last 10. If you try to animate everything equally, nothing feels intentional. Start with a bass source. Wave-eatable is perfect. Operator also works. In wave-eatable, use something solid, a squarish basic shape on OSC1, a sour slightly formantish wave on OSC2 very low in the mix, and keep unison tight. 2 to 4 voices, low amount. We're not going for trans super saw width, we want controlled aggression. Turn sub on for now, but we're likely going to split sub and mids in a second. Now for the device chain on the bass group or track. Think of this chain as movement friendly, meaning it's designed so that small automation changes actually feel musical. First, EQ8, high pass at around 20 to 30 Hz to remove garbage. If it's boxy, a small dip around 250 to 400. Then auto filter. Use a 24 dB low pass mode. Set the cutoff so it already sits in the pocket. Not too bright. Add drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB. That drive is key because it gives you bite without resorting to huge EQ moves later. Then saturator. Analog clip mode. Drive maybe 2 to 8 dB depending on the sound. Soft clip-on. This is where tiny changes feel big, so remember that. Then chorus or chorus ensemble. Keep the mix low, like 5 to 15%. We're using it as texture, not as an obvious effect. Then utility, and here is a big one. Keep the low-end mono. If your bass includes sub, don't automate width on that. If you widen the sub, you'll lose club weight and mono compatibility. You might not notice on headphones, but you'll absolutely notice when it matters. Optionally, a limiter just as a safety during design, not as a final loudness move. Now, group these into an audio effect rack and build macros. This is where you keep automation lanes under control. The goal is, fewer automation lanes, more intention. Macro 1 is tone, map to auto filter cutoff. And the secret is you don't map the entire knob range. You set a narrow useful range. Think plus or minus 10 to 20% of the zone you actually like. So when you automate, you can't accidentally do a huge sweep. Macro 2 is bite. Map to saturator drive, and optionally that auto filter drive too. Keep the movement small. 1 to 3 dB of drive automation can be massive in context. Macro 3 is width for the mids. Map it to chorus mix or utility width, but only on the mid layer, not the sub. Macro 4 is growl focus. Map to an EQ8 bell around 1.2 to 2.5 kHz, plus or minus 1 or 2 dB. Now, advanced move. Split sub and mids. Duplicate your bass track into SUB and MID. On sub, low pass around 80 to 120 Hz, set width to 0, keep it clean. Minimal saturation. On mid, high pass around 80 to 120 and do your movement, width, distortion, all the character there. This keeps your low end stable while your mids do the talking. Cool. Now let's automate, but in a way that doesn't scream automation. Think phrase-based first. In arrangement view, every 8 bars, nudge tone slightly. Every 16 bars, do a slightly bigger move, like a small increase in bite or a tiny shift in growl focus. Then at the very end, bars 31 to 32, do a turnaround move, maybe darken briefly or add bite briefly or do a micro mute right before the next section. Practical ranges that will save you from overdoing it. Filter cutoff changes might be 2 to 8% of the range you mapped. Saturator drive, 1 to 3 dB is already a lot. EQ bell gain, plus or minus 1 to 2 dB. If your filter is moving 30 or 40%, that's not subtle movement anymore. That's a special effect. And special effects are cool, but they're not the finished loop trick we're practicing. Now add one micro automation element, and only one. This is important. Micro automation is like seasoning. If you use 5 seasonings, it doesn't taste advanced, it tastes confused. Here are 2 great micro options. Option 1. On the MID base, do a tiny breathing ramp on the filter cutoff every 2 bars. 1 to 3% up, then back. The listener won't hear a sweep. They'll just feel that it's not static. Option 2. Automate saturator drive slightly on the last half beat before the snare, just to add urgency into the hit. Again, tiny. You're trying to make the groove feel like it leans forward. Now a workflow choice. Arrangement automation versus clip envelopes. Use arrangement automation for the big phrase structure, your 8, 16, 32 bar story. Use clip envelopes when you want a repeatable behavior, like a 2-bar wobble pattern that loops consistently. And a reality check. Too many lanes kills vibe. If you can't describe the intention of an automation lane in one sentence, simplify it or delete it. This makes bar 17 feel wider. Good. This is cutoff lane number 6 because I got lost. Delete. Before we draw pretty curves, we're going to use automation anchors. This is an advanced trick that keeps you musical. Put anchors at bar 1, bar 9, bar 17, bar 25, and bar 31 or 32. Those are your baseline, slight lift, variation, second lift or contrast, and turnaround. Then you only shape between anchors. This prevents the classic problem, where you draw a lot of detail that doesn't add up to a clear phrase. Alright, drums. Drum bus automation should feel like energy management, not processing gymnastics. The groove needs to remain consistent. You're just making it lean harder in certain moments. On your drum group, a solid stock chain is drum bus, glue compressor, a gentle saturator, and EQ8 for final shaping. On drum bus, be careful with boom because D and B subs and bass can clash fast. Transients are where small moves matter. On glue, set attack around 1 to 10 milliseconds, release auto or roughly 0.1 to 0.3, ratio 2 to 1, and aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Now, automate density, not volume. Pick one target over phrases. You can automate drum bus transients, a little more transient impact in the drop, pull it back in busy fills, or automate glue threshold slightly, so the drum bus grabs maybe half a dB to 1 dB more in energetic sections. Or automate snare reverb send slightly at phrase ends to glue the section. That's the idea. Automate processing intensity, not just faders. Now we hit the heart of the lesson. Commit. Printing is not an afterthought. It's part of the creative workflow. Here are your commit checkpoints. Checkpoint 1 is after sound design movement feels right, meaning your bass macros and subtle automation make sense. Checkpoint 2 is after drum bus movement feels right. Checkpoint 3 is after arrangement edits, like fills, transitions, and mutes. And you've got 3 main ways to commit. Freeze and flatten is fastest for instrument tracks and heavy chains. You freeze the track, then flatten, and rename it clearly, like bass mid print 01. Resampling to audio is best when you're committing sound design, because it encourages audio native edits. Make an audio track called something like print bassmid, set audio from to your bass MID track post effects, arm it, and record 16 to 32 bars, and consolidate is arrangement friendly. Once you do edits, select a region and consolidate so timing and clip management stays clean. Now versioning, because committing with a safety net is how you end up rebuilding something at 2 a.m. before a major print. Duplicate the track and label it per print. Color it dim. Your print is bright, and keep one previous version only. You are not building a museum of backups. One safety version is enough to stay fearless. One more advanced guardrail. Do quick A and B checks before you emotionally attach to the print. Match loudness. Even 0.7 dB difference can trick you into thinking the louder one is better. Do a 10-second A/B. Original versus print. Decide and move on. Don't audit for 5 minutes or you'll lose the vibe. Also, think of commits in layers, not one final print. First, a design print, movement and tone. Second, a mix print, bus processing and glue choices. Third, an edit print, after chops, fades, reverses, time edits. This way you don't bake in everything too early, but you still keep momentum. Now the fun part, post-commit edits. This is why we print. Once it's audio, you can do classic DNB moves quickly and cleanly. You can slice and create micro gaps for groove, especially right before snares. You can do reverse resample flicks, duplicate a tail, reverse it, fade it in, maybe add a touch of reverb, then print again. You can automate pitch on audio with clip transpose, like a quick -1 to -3 semitone dip before a drop for weight. You can gate or duck ambience with side chains so Atmos pump subtly under drums. And here's a favorite sound design extra for Reese mids, motion that doesn't change pitch. Duplicate the MID layer, delay it by 5 to 15 milliseconds using track delay or a simple delay with zero feedback. High pass it so you're not smearing low mids, and blend it quietly. Then automate that duplicates level subtly over phrases. It reads as space and motion, not wobble. For controlled stereo that survives mono, use a Q8 in mid-side mode. High pass the sides higher, like 200 to 400 Hz. Then add a tiny presence bump on the sides only, maybe half a dB to 1.5. And you can automate that sides bump very subtly, so the width breathes while the center stays stable. Now arrangement. Here's a clean 32-bar map. Bars 1 to 8. Establish groove. Bass darker, controlled. Bars 9 to 16. Open tone slightly, maybe a tiny increase in bite. Bars 17 to 24. Add a new bass print layer, like a resampled variation. Automate drum density slightly up. Bars 25 to 32. Turnaround. Pull bass tone down quickly in bar 31. Lift snare, reverb send a bit at the end. And do a quick mute or cut on the bass for an eighth or a quarter right before the next section. That negative space edit is one of the most effective transitions in DNB, and it doesn't require a giant FX riser. For variation, try contrast instead of escalation. Don't always open filters or add more distortion. This audio version is shortened for playback.